To the Lord our God be the praise, honor, and the glory for his grace, for this new day which we may together experience with him, to hear his word, to get it revealed, and to find our connection to God, because that's what it's all about. As sure as God was in Christ, so we must be in Christ. Father, thou in me, and I in them, that we may be one. Just feel at home in our midst. I've said it recently here. We are grateful that the Lord is not only present where two or three are gathered, but wherever his people are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. We were comforted and strengthened by the fact that the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 15, appeared to more than 500 brethren at once. And this after his resurrection. Just so nice that he keeps his word. I will be with you. I will be among you. And wherever you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And this we want. We don't want to have any meeting without the Lord. He must and wants to be present. And if he is present, then he will make all things well, also today. Just as we were reading yesterday from Mark chapter 7, the last verse, he has made all things well. Precious brothers and sisters, can you believe this? Don't look on the things which can be seen, not on the trials, which almost go beyond what we can bear. Look unto the invisible as we would see him. He who gave the promise is faithful and fulfills it also. The needs are manifold, but sometimes we must get into trouble so that we can come closer to the Lord, and so that he can take us into a closer relationship with himself. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Also today, we welcome all of you, especially our brother Markus Keller from British Columbia, who is here today for the first time. Where is our brother Markus Keller? Just stand up. Here. This is the son of my friend's brother and sister Keller, formerly staying in Switzerland, and now for many years they are staying in British Columbia. Everywhere we have friends, everywhere we have brothers and sisters. I said it already yesterday, Brother Gene Shanz is here. We are glad that he can be in our midst. Sometimes I'm a bit aggrieved about the young brothers who are taking the sisters from here to another country. We would like it best when they would all come here and staying here. But the blessing of God is of course also with them. And that's what is important. Just feel free, all from Poland. Where's our brother from Poland who is here today for the first time? Please stand up. God bless you in a special way in our midst. And all from the Czech Republic and from Slovakia, from Italy, from Austria, from Switzerland, from France, from Luxembourg, from Belgium, from Holland, just from all over. The Lord God bless us. And I would like to sincerely thank all who are speaking other languages and who have to just accept and live with it that the services here are being held in the German language. We cannot change it. But we are thanking all our brethren who are translating simultaneously. And we know that God gives grace for the translation. We thank the Lord also for that, that we have all the languages here, that we have them in our midst. Who has led it in such a way? Who wanted it in such a way? It was the Lord God, who knows the end before the beginning. And especially when I'm traveling together with Brother Schmidt into the Russian-speaking world, then I notice how much he is feeling at home. No one recognizes then Brother Schmidt anymore. It is just so nice. But when we think of what kind of way he had to walk because of the Second World War from 1945 to 1960, what he went through, and then the result, he speaks a better Russian than in all the rest of the Russian provinces. We're just so grateful for all our brethren, be it Siegfried Fleck or be it our brothers who are sitting there on top. They are serving God, and the word of the Lord goes forth in all languages into all the world. I think presently we have crossed the 20 language border, and we are looking after the whole world, just after the whole world, and we are very grateful for it. Now I have two wishes, two song wishes. Where is the choir leader? Is our brother in the building, or is he walking around somewhere?
Dürfen wir
This we may say out of experience, which you always approve anew. It's even written, if we would become unfaithful, yet he remains faithful, because he cannot deny himself, and he cannot deny us. All sons and all daughters of God are ordained to see the glory of God. And therefore, our Lord gave the promise that he would go to prepare the place and that he will return to take us unto himself. He said it in John 20, verse 17, I ascend unto my God and your God, to my Father and to your Father. It is just the great mystery of the plan of salvation of our God, that he has received us and accepted us and has given us back the adoption as sons, which was lost to us. And according to Galatians 4, verse 4, he has adopted us as sons and daughters of God. Brothers and sisters, manifold are the things which should be mentioned, about which we should speak. But the main thing is really, as we were reading yesterday, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, lest any of us turns out to be left behind. And also the word from Mark 7, last verse, he has made all things well. There where our Lord can be present, there he makes all things well. And also today, the eyes all over the world are looking to this place. Many are listening and many are watching the services now. And we also would like to greet all near and far, all over the world. God has his people. And also this morning, phone calls and greetings came in, even down from South Africa, from Brother Rigobert from Benin. Brother Graf is greeting us. Greetings are coming and are coming from all the brethren who are joined with us in the Lord, in the same faith, not as an organization, but as a living organism of the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were reading just now in Jeremiah chapter 1, and there it stood out for me that it says there, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That a sending, a commission was given. And then I was thinking on the word, a prophet has no honor in his own house and among his own relatives. Just think of it, this contrast. I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Everything what I say unto you, that you shall speak, speaking by a divine commission. And then a prophet has no honor in his own house and among his own relatives. A prophet and man of God is not a private person. A prophet of God is ordained to reveal the will of God to the people of God through the Word of God. And it's so nice that we have nothing to say in it. I actually shouldn't mention it here, but also Brother Branham always mentioned his children time and again that they should find the way of the Lord. He even said, Sarah is now in a critical age, pray for her. And then, when I sometime went together with the brethren for dinner, then suddenly a brother said, this lady over there, the waitress at that table, this is the sister of Brother Branham. And I was thinking by myself, I'm sitting here in a nice restaurant, and the waitress who is serving at that table is the sister of Brother Branham. And as it is always with me, I stood up and I went to her to greet her. Of course, everyone has the right to work there where the work is. But we see that not all are just automatically integrated into special tasks in the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom of God are set up divine laws and the word of the Lord. Not a family business, but the work of God in all of us. Then we have mentioned yesterday already the signs of the time. And brothers and sisters, if we look into the internet, then we really have everything in it. Even about Revelation 13, about the number of the beast, about the name, everything can be pulled out from the internet and can be looked up. Today, we were looking up the two terms dogma and dogotismus. Here it's written again, dogma means opinion. Proposition. And therefore, the Church of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with the opinions of men, nothing with propositions which were put up by men in some councils some time ago, but with the Word of God which remains forever. Also here is the explanation, docane, seeming. We don't need anything which only seems. We need assurance, and the word of our God is sure. And here it is being said about dogma, it means opinion or proposition. Whether it seems or whether it is an opinion. How often did I say it worldwide? Also, in the greatest meetings, I'm not here to hear your opinion, and you are not here to hear my opinion. We are all here to hear that what God has to say to us through His Word. Then, Brother Branham says that we will get into trouble. The end time is here. The coming of the Lord is near. And it is just like that, that the prince of this world is still ruling among the nations, that he rules over all religions and their leaders. And then Brother Branham says here, in the sermon, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Why was I always against organized religion? And then he brings the whole thing in connection with the mark of the beast. It continues. It is a church government because whole nations are involved. But the people of God from all nations is involved in what God promised for this time and what he is doing presently. Then, Brother Branham continues, the force of the religion of the nations won't let them do it anymore. He speaks about preaching. Such ministry as this that goes on here and things like that will be absolutely closed out. You can't do it without a sanction from the headquarters, namely the head of the church. One could read on how this man of God, in the true sense of the word, being a seer, he saw what would take place. Then, the one sentence. Of course, the Protestant will never become Catholic, but they will be an associated brotherhood. And then one almost doesn't dare to say it. It is the mark of the beast. Yes, also such remarks one will not be able to make much longer. And therefore, I'm just asking, read in the sermons of Brother Branham, look it up. It was him who was preaching the sermon, recognize the time and the message. It was him whom God was using to bring us back to the beginning. It was Brother Branham who 1933 saw the seven special visions, and it was him who in 1933 laid the cornerstone of the tabernacle in Jeffersonville. And before he laid the cornerstone, the Lord spoke to him. Read 2 Timothy 4. And he was reading 2 Timothy 4. And it was the commission which was directed to him. Preach the word, be it in season or out of season. Because the time will come where they will not endure the sound doctrine. Brother Branham has torn this page out from his Bible and laid it into the cornerstone of his tabernacle. He bought a new Bible and he underlined this text in the new Bible to document right at the spot that with his proclamation a divine commission is connected with, namely, not to present opinions, not things which seem to be right, but to proclaim the true and everlasting word of God. As it was in the beginning, so it must also be at the end. Of course, we all have no trouble to believe what God did from 1933 to 1965. We look back to it with great joy. But when we are now saying there was a Brother Frank who was preaching in 1972 together with Brother Barrier in Marseille, France, and then it was even said on an evening, brothers from Armenia came to me and were asking me about the seven thunders. And behold, I had no answer. I just said freely and openly, I'm sorry, I don't know it. And I said farewell and went into my room on the first floor. I looked at this watch, and when the experience was over, it was 5 minutes to five in the morning. The voice of the Almighty in the German language, very clear, articulated, "My servant, rise and read 2 Timothy 4. I was just hesitating a bit, and again with more force, "Get up and read 2 Timothy 4. And when I was reading from verse 1 to 5, I started again with verse 1. "I charge thee before God and the Lord who shall judge the living and the dead, preach the word, be it in season or out of season." I just needed to read verse 2, 1 and 2. "And I laid down my Bible, and my hands went just up. And I said, 'Beloved Lord, as sure as you have spoken and you commanded me to read this word, so sure that what the seven thunders uttered was not written down, and therefore has not become a part of the word which I have to preach.'" And I don't want to go into details. In any case, I had the answer that only the word may be preached. What good are all the various interpretations which seem to be right, but which cannot be right because they cannot be checked with the word? So, what the word does not say was not said by God, and he is only responsible for what he said, and he alone will make it well. Now we have here one more tremendous statement of Brother Branham, and then we will come back to the Holy Scripture. In the sermon, Desperation, and here Brother Branham says that we really have to get into trouble, getting desperate before God. He says on page 12, "I want him to remember me at the roll call." And all this throws me into desperation. Remember, when he calls his own. This all throws me into desperation. That is, as Paul said, "After I have preached the gospel, shall I be a castaway?" It could happen. So it throws me into a desperate state, desperation, to think that after all these years of preaching, I could come to a place where I could fail him. What's the next move? What must I do next? And it throws me into a nervous state about what I can do. It throws me to the mountains and to the valleys. And it's hard, because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men, that I might win some to Christ. And then Brother Brennan continues and says, "Ye who are listening to the tapes, can you understand in what desperation this responsibility puts me in? In what kind of desperation this responsibility puts me in?" And then The signs of his coming should throw every member of Christ into desperation now. It is about your souls. It is about our welfare for the hereafter. And then, what are we going to amount to if we gain the whole world? What are we living for? One could read on how Brother Branham gives free rein to his own desperation. Servants of God have not only a commission, they have responsibility before God, responsibility for the people, for the church. And when Paul writes to the churches, or when Peter writes to the churches, then always with this responsibility which goes beyond all the time, which is for eternity. Because what good would it be to run the race if at the end it would be said that we are left behind? I'm just so grateful also for this experience when I saw the rapture and when I experienced it personally. For you who are hearing such, it might have no meaning. For me, who I experienced it and who was in the first row, and then looking to my right side, seeing the multitude clothed in white, all were young. I've seen them, and I was taken up with them into glory. For me, this has a great meaning. Let us be honest. Only what we personally experience has a personal meaning for us. Everything else, what others experienced, for instance, when we were reading, he made all things well, then it says, the blind could see, and the lame could walk. Because that's how it was already written in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. When the Lord God will come, then the blind shall see and the lame will walk. And the word was fulfilled. And all who came to the Lord, they were helped. And the one who could not come because he could not walk, for him, four men stood in for him, and they have uncovered the roof. And they let him down before the Lord. And then it is written, when he saw their faith, he spoke to the man whom they have let down before him. Brothers and sisters, he must have mercy. He must put the love of God into practice. Now, coming to the thought which we want to touch upon, there are really, in Bible prophecy, there are really all realms in which everything was predicted. Firstly, for that, what happened at that time, namely, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then the believers from Judea shall flee to the mountains. In all three Gospels, we have the description for the time which was then. And one must read carefully when it speaks about the time then and what is for our time, and then seeing everything in its right connection. And then we have, of course, the overall description of the end time also in Matthew 24, and this from verse 1, and also in Mark 13, the description in general, what would be in the end time. But then there is a direct description of that, what the Lord announced to the church what would happen with him, what would happen by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there our Lord says, and this verse I would like to read in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in verse 29. John 14, verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So, he predicted what would happen. This I have told you, that when it comes to pass, that ye might believe. Through the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, we are almost forced to believe. There is no way around it anymore. Dear God says it, and here it takes place. Who dares to bypass it? Then we have the great promise in that chapter in which the fall of Lucifer is described, the great promise in Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14 in verse 26 and 27, we read, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Let us come to Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. So, end time. Israel. He will yet choose Israel again and plant them in their own land of promise. But what comes now? Namely that what the enemy has done on damage. And the damage did not just start in the Garden of Eden. Lucifer exalted himself in heaven with the statement, I will, I will. And there we see the dropping out of the will of God because of one's own will. We have here even the description of the end time in Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 4.
Oh, wie ist zur Ruhe gekommen,
how has the oppressor seized, the golden city seized? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Shall I say something about it? Who is holding the scepter? Who is coming on the scene all the time with the scepter in his hand? I didn't see it with Chirac. Also not with Putin. Also not with Bush. Also not with Schröder. That somebody would come on the scene with a scepter. But here, it is spoken of the oppressor, of the ruler, and about the scepter. He who smote the people in wrath with a continuous stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. We don't have to go into details. There's no explanation needed. It doesn't only seem so, it was so, and it is so. And now, think of one moment. Here comes the fall of Lucifer. Here comes the rebellion in glory. From verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and so forth. And then we read of a man who exalts himself above all what is called God or that is worshipped. And so we have again the connection from the Old to the New Testament. And we see how the enemy pulled all of mankind into the fall. Only he who experienced the grace of God personally looks through all the deception which is going on earth, especially in the religious realm, because the earthly dictators had all their times. And then came changes in the political realm. But in the religious realm, all are held in bondage from the beginning of their certain religion up to the end. All are born into the certain religion and are being held in bondage all of their lives in and by the religion until it is, of course, then too late. And therefore, God has sent his word to let sound forth the message once again worldwide, to show one more time the difference between the Church of the Living God, between the firstborn who are pardoned by God and who were chosen from before the foundation of the world, and between all the formality in all religions. Since when is God in a religion? God has only revealed and manifested himself in Jesus Christ our Lord as Savior. Only he could say, he who sees me sees the Father, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So, the proclamation must bring clarity, namely to all men on earth. Outwardly, earthly speaking, we would wish the best to all men, and we are still doing it. But we would also wish that to all men could be said, as to Mary, you have chosen the good part. God wants people who among all the religious voices hear his voice. And there we have, really, in the Holy Scripture, the hints to it. But before we come back to Hebrews, let us read from Isaiah 14. Let us read once again this text, verse 26 and 27. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? But here we come to the point. Even the hand of the Lord is stretched out, we could repeat 1,000 times, the hand of the Lord is exalted, the hand of the Lord upholds the victory. This is correct, yes, but does the hand of the Lord also uphold the victory in my and your life? Is his hand exalted above you and me? Could God give you already the victory? With the repetition of Bible verses, no one is helped. What is written in the Bible must repeat with us. If it is about promises which are written in the Word of God, and only then we have the personal confirmation that we are in the right boat together with the Lord, and that He can calm down every storm and that He can help all of us. Generally, we have worldwide the subject in all our TV programs, especially in the English language and also in the other languages. We have the subject, the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in our time. And then comes to it the calling out and the preparation of the bride church unto the glorious day of the return of our bridegroom. Just one word from the Old Testament to show us what shall take place with the bride, of which our Lord spoke already in the Old Testament, I will betroth thee unto me. We read it from Hosea chapter 2 from verse 19. Hosea chapter 2 from verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercies. So, not a betrothal, when you will do this, then I do this, conditions, but in loving kindness and in mercies. For God so much loved the world. God was merciful to us. He has received us. And by the faith in the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, we are justified. And the justification is called the righteousness of God in the letter to the Romans. Now we have also the next thought in verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. And now it comes. First betroth thee unto me in justice and righteousness and in loving kindness and in mercies, and then I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. So, before the word can find fulfillment on Israel, it must be first fulfilled in the church. Because John said about the bridegroom, because he was the friend of the bridegroom who prepared the way of the bridegroom and who brought bride and bridegroom together. And as we said many times, As sure as the New Testament started with the fulfillment of the promise that God would send a prophet before the day of salvation, before the grace comes, and this he did. You can read it, still written. Thanks be to God. In Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in the Gospel of John. That John the Baptist was that man in whom the promises of Isaiah 40 verse 3 and Malachi 3 verse 1 were fulfilled. He went in the spirit and in the power of Elijah and turned not the heads, because there are discussions going on, and discussions God does not need. God needs hearts in which he can lay his word and where it can become a revelation by the Spirit. And therefore it's written in Luke 1, 16 and 17 that he turns the hearts of the fathers to the children and preparing a people well-pleasing to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if we believe that we are living now in the end time and that the return of Jesus Christ is very near, then we must face up the word of God, believing the promises for this time. Let me say it here. Only he who carries in himself the promise which God gave will, by the power of God, according to the promise, will be carried into that what God promised. And then one does not need to discuss any longer, but just to thank the Lord that he has sent a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, before the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood, and when the stars will fall from heaven, before the wrath of God and the judgments of God will strike this earth, and all unbelievers with all the dignities and with all the kings of the earth, they will then call upon the mountains, cover us and fall us, and so forth. So we believe out of conviction, based upon the word of God, that God, at the end of the time of grace, will restore all things into its original condition. And that now the hearts of the children of God are brought back to the faith of the fathers. Alas, instead this divine commission, which is embedded in the promise, instead of taking it to heart and to leave it like that, no, new doctrines, new interpretations, and it seems here and there to be this way or that way. What have I to do with it seems so? I need God's word as a lamp unto my feet, as a light on my path. Also this may be said in love here, right at the end. The bride church will be one heart and one soul. Because thus saith God through the prophet Jeremiah and through the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you shepherds according to my heart. Not shepherds who feed themselves and who stirred up the water, but shepherds according to my heart, shepherds who are joined with the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Please, let us keep this word in our hearts. At the time when it was fulfilled, that God made a new covenant with us, establishing the relationship between bride and bridegroom, and betrothing us unto himself in faithfulness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercies. A bride is the fiancé. And here we have the characteristics of them who accepted the betrothal unto him, the bridegroom, who are not only making words, but who then experience heaven will obey the earth. Then the heaven comes down to earth, and the supernatural takes place by grace in those who receive and accept the word of the hour. Brothers and sisters, one more view into the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3, not forgetting the statement of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1, lest any of you turns out to be left behind. We remember the word of our Lord in Matthew 24. One will be taken and the other one will be left behind. It will really get very close, very narrow. It will get very serious. There is no margin anymore. He who belongs to the bride, he hears the voice of the bridegroom. And the voice of the bridegroom is not the interpretations, but the word in the original. Because the bridegroom is the word, and the bride must become the word. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Here. Now we read suddenly, not the word of God saith, but as the Holy Ghost saith. Today, if ye will hear his voice. What does it mean? Namely, that word which is revealed by the Spirit of God. That it is not only a written word, but a word quickened by the Spirit of God, which addresses us and which we receive into our hearts, and then doing what the Lord commands us. And right after that it says, verse 8, harden not your hearts. Brothers and sisters, if we believe at this place, and this out of full conviction, that the commission and the experiences of which Brother Branham could report since the day of his birth about all the supernatural to which he had no influence on, but which had great influence on him. Every experience with God has a special influence on him to whom it was given. And if we would ask the 4,000 people, of which I have seen 10 or 12 personally in Jeffersonville, who were present in 1933, I've seen them in 1966, who really became eyewitnesses when the supernatural light was coming down upon Brother Branham. The voice was addressed to him, not to the 4,000. As John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. It were 42 or 43 times where Brother Branham directly emphasized, not that I, but it is the message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. What did we experience after the going home of Brother Branham, after the funeral on the 11th of April 1966? Thanks be to God, we not only carried the message into all of Europe, but into all the world. I just looked it up now in the newspaper articles. 1976, I traveled already to 86 countries carrying the divine message into all the world, because a divine commission was given, and therefore we are grateful to God. We are looking back to the beginning, we are looking to the promise, but we are paying attention to that, what was said, and how it was said. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. If we just repeat something what Brother Branham has said, then we are in danger to misunderstand and to misinterpret, as also with the Holy Scripture. Let's say Matthew 28, where it says, "And baptize them into the name." Then it's not written and use a formula of three titles. One must always pay attention to what the Holy Scripture says. And therefore, it's written in the prophet Daniel, "Give heed to my words, so that you understand the vision rightly." The moment is just here now, where we are not only reading what is written in 2 Peter chapter 1, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but that we put it into practice, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but we have to pay attention to the fulfillment. I've said it here many times, and I emphasize it worldwide. The New Testament begins with the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. John the Baptist, a promised prophet. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the promised Messiah, the promised seed, the promised Redeemer, since the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the divine seed would come to bruise the head of the serpent. And the promises were all fulfilled, and the teachers of that time were sitting onto the seat of Moses, a little bit exalted, sitting before the people, and were teaching as if God did nothing at all. The mystery in the bride is therein to recognize what the bridegroom is doing, what he is speaking, and what is presently going on earth. The calling out, the restoration. And the Lord says, "When I will be lifted up of the earth, then I will draw unto myself all scattered children of God." May it happen that our Lord was not only lifted up on the cross between heaven and earth and dying for us, but that he was exalted, receiving a name which is above every name, to which all knees will bow. When he was lifted up on the cross for us, then he was also exalted for us after his resurrection. And we are expecting that he returns. But here's the point. We must really have to have died to ourselves with Christ. What good is it if we say or repeat what Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 19? "I am crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me." If we are all living our lives so nicely, This may not remain like this any longer. Today the Lord wants to give us grace that the will of God can take place in our lives by His grace. One can even go to 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul speaks of the ministry of reconciliation. We can go to Philippians, where it says that he disarmed the principalities and powers, triumphing over them, and that the victory of God was manifested on the cross of Calvary. What good is it if it is not manifested in you and me? What good is it if a man could say, I live no more, but Christ lives his life through me? And then we have reconciliation and forgiveness, which is at the first place. And even today is valid what is written in the Lord's Prayer. If ye do not forgive, then you also will not be forgiven. And also today is written, receive one another and accept one another, just as God received you in Christ. Even today is valid, God was in Christ, has abolished the enmity, broken down the middle wall of partition, and has given reconciliation and redemption. Where there is no reconciliation, there is also no redemption. And where there is no redemption, there is no forgiveness. So, back to the Bible, back to the footprints of our Lord, back to that what our brethren experienced with God in the early church. Let us be honest. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, the natural man does not receive the things which come from the Spirit of God, because it is foolishness to him. Then the man must of course first be born again unto a living hope. Something pious that doesn't help. Also not the speaking about message or messenger doesn't help anyone. It's just in the head. First, the connection must be established to God in our hearts. And thanks be to God, He has established the connection to us so that we can establish it to Him. And also this must be said time and again. The way of God to us is our way to God. And therefore, there is only one in whom is salvation, redemption, and reconciliation, and everything what God has given us. And if someone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Reconciliation, redemption, everything is manifested in his life. Where there is enmity and hatred is manifest, I'm asking you, where is then redemption? Where is forgiveness? Where is reconciliation? So, back to God. Back to the Word. Why this serious preaching? Because we have entered the last phase before the return of Jesus Christ. We will now experience in what kind of way God is bringing His people together. How we in the restoration are being led into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We will speak the same language. The same Spirit reveals the same things. And we will have part in what God is doing. Let me quickly read the verses from Hebrews chapter 3. Time and again, the emphasis, today, if ye will hear His voice. His voice is His word, which is addressed to us. As we were reading in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, why is it written 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Men of God are bringing us the Word of God, but the Spirit of God reveals it unto us. And then we are brought into this personal relationship with God, not via a mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is Jesus Christ our Lord. The greatest men of God were signposts. And if we read Revelation 1 from verse 1 to 3, then it says there that God, through one servant, gave unto his servants the things which he had to say. God uses always one mouth through which he speaks, but the spoken things is for all the servants of God who have the task to preach the same word. Maybe that's why it's written in Matthew 24 from verse 45 to 47. And this might knock you off your chairs now, but I, Brother Frank, have heard this word in Edmonton on street number 127 on a morning, early in the morning, as I was reaching to my Bible next to my bed. I was already dressed and I was ready for the day. I was reaching to my Bible and the sun was shining into the room. And as you are hearing my voice, my servant, I have ordained thee according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, to give out the food. What shall I say to it? I never was asking for it. I never knew that it would happen. Never in my life. There is no man who could or would ask God for a commission. Commissions are decisions of God in which no man has something to say. And so we see, really, we see it confirmed by the phone calls of all the ministering brethren all over the earth who are thanking God that they also receive the right food in the right measure so that they can also give it out to feed the people of God with the revealed Word of God. We thank God that he is still on the throne, that we are living in the time of the completion, and that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled on all levels. And the Lord would say to us today, blessed are your eyes for what they see, and blessed are your ears for what they hear, because many righteous men and prophets desired to hear what you are hearing and to see what you are seeing. Brothers and sisters, the most glorious phase in the history of mankind and in the history of the New Testament church has started, and the Lord leads his people out of every kind of bondage into the liberty of the children of God. And this is the liberty which the Lord has given us. Now, one more word, where obedience and disobedience is compared. Hebrews 3, verse 18. Hebrews 3, verse 18. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that obeyed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is followed by disobedience and leads into the fall or into the falling away. And belief takes us out, puts us onto biblical foundation. And then we know, here it is written, and that's how it is fulfilled before our very eyes. So, fulfillment of Bible prophecies, fulfillment of all predictions for the end time, for Israel, for the church, for the nations. And today, if ye hear his voice, you must hear the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And there you can confidently close your eyes, opening your hearts, saying, "Speak, Lord. Your people are listening, and we are here today to hear. We are here today to receive correction. We are here today to take the directions on our way seriously. And we are here today to be told," and this I'm saying to all of us, "may it not turn out in any of us that he is left behind at the return of Jesus Christ. For all who are not going out to meet the bridegroom, this is not a big catastrophe. But for all who are going out to meet the bridegroom, who are believing the entire message and yet are not submitting unto the mighty hand of God, not letting themselves be placed into the divine order, the church is not just a heap of people. The church of Jesus Christ is the body of Jesus Christ, purchased with a high price, joined together by the Holy Spirit. So, a stop to all disobedience, a stop to all unbelief, a stop to one's own ways and to one's own doctrines. Divine submission according to the course of the plan of salvation in which we now arrived. Remember Isaiah 14, where the fall of Lucifer is described, and remember that God after that said, "When I purposed a plan, who can disannul it?" God carries out his plan. And we don't have to look back to 1979 and to the years after that. We are looking into the future and we say, "The Lord will lead everything to a glorious end, and his own are hearing his voice and will submit to the word of God." One word now to all who want to be baptized. First there's repentance, conversion, faith, and then comes baptism. And the Holy Scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. And this is in conformity with Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In agreement with the book of Acts, chapter 10, where Peter commands also those who are baptized in the Spirit that they must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There are even people baptized in the Spirit who just say, "If God would not have filled me with the Holy Ghost, then I would get baptized. But I was baptized in the Spirit, and thereby I have the confirmation that God's well-pleasing is resting upon me. The Spirit baptism is in connection with the work of redemption. In the Old Testament, it was the blood. In the New Testament, it is the blood, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three agree as one and bear witness. No one may come with arguments anymore. The time of argumentation is over forever. He wants to believe God, let him believe now. And he wants to obey him now, let him obey him now. Let him make his decision. Walking on the narrow way, which leads to eternal life, to the pearly gates. Blessed and praised be the Lord, the Almighty God, who speaks to us in love. Why? Because he doesn't want that one single of us be left behind, but that all are being prepared, that the heaven will obey the earth with all those who are betrothed unto him, and by this making up the bride church. God hears us and answers us in Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. And in his will, our will must be embedded. And then God will make all things well. To him, the Almighty, to the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the only God, the only true God, be the glory and the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Maybe we sing one chorus together. Who says a chorus? Maybe, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is the Lord.
Wunderbar, wunderbar, Jesus ist der Herr. Wunderbar, starker Gott, Friede Fürst ist er. Rettet mich, schützet mich vor der Sünde Macht. Wunderbar ist Jesus, der mir sie gebracht.
Und vielleicht singen wir noch, oh, ich möchte schauen.
Oh, ich möchte schauen, den, der für mich starb. Allzeit loben, preisen, seine Rettertat. Möcht auf goldenen Straßen singen, Herr. Nach dem Streit, Herrlichkeit, Freude immer da.
Singen wir noch, so wie ich bin, so muss es sein.
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein, dein Blut. Wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Während wir die Häupter neigen,
as we are bowing our heads, and as we remain in silent prayer, as we are opening our hearts in the presence of God, we remember the promise, I will make a new covenant with you. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will give you a new life. May it become true. The covenant was made. on the cross of Calvary. Our Lord said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you." His blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, was shed. Brothers and sisters, receive the redemption, receive the forgiveness, receive Jesus Christ as the only Savior, according to the scripture, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. According to the scripture, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Don't think, what will my friends say? What will my school friends say? What will my colleagues say? Not thinking anymore, what will men say? Our Lord says, "He who confesses me before men, him I will confess before my heavenly Father." Precious friends, especially all who have not yet consciously dedicated and surrendered their lives to God, may the Lord God give you now the power for this decision. Recognize that we are all lost, separated from God, without eternal life in this world. And remember that God gave us eternal life in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He who has the Son of God has eternal life, and he who does not have the Son has not life. The time is serious. Eternity is long. And now, as we are bowing our heads and as we remain in prayer, let me firstly ask how many have, while you heard his voice, how many made their decision today for the Lord? Fully for Jesus, fully for him, placing our will into his will, so that the will of God can take place. How many are here today who want to raise their hand and who want to be included in this prayer? Just raise your hand. God bless you. All over, near and far, everywhere, the hands went up. And we have the assurance, he who comes to the Lord, him he will in no wise cast out. He receives him. He receives today. He accepts you today. Now we will just pray. Now the question, how many are here who want to be baptized? Who want to be baptized biblically? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just raise quickly your hands. Some are here. One, two, three, four, five. In any case, the baptism will take place right after this service. We of course always have baptisms. On every Sunday can be a baptism. And we laid it to each one's heart to dedicate their lives to God, to make a right beginning so that a right end is guaranteed. And the Lord himself must be the author and the finisher. And when he starts, this is a good start. And this brings us back to the beginning, to the pattern of the early church. That's how God started 2,000 years ago, and that's how he will also finish. Now, we ask Brother Rus that he prays with us, and then I will say a few words. We can say upon the authority of the word that all who believe according to the scripture, that they also make their experiences according to the scripture. You can go home today with experience you have asked from God. God is faithful. His word is given to us to show what he has prepared for us. And then we are hearing it, and we believe it, and experience what he has prepared for us. Upon the authority of the word, it can of course be said that all who call upon the name of the Lord, they experience their salvation on the spot. Say amen. In the same way, with the healing, just receive it. Don't look on circumstances. By his stripes, you are healed. This is the authority of the word. God did not confirm the apostles. He confirmed the word which the apostles were preaching. And in the same way, it was in our days. I watched it, how blind born received their sight. I watched it, how Bible days were going on before me, and how the book of Acts took place before my very eyes. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let me say this once again. It not only seems, it is so. God has graciously visited his people.
Hallelujah.
And now we thank together. He who likes can raise his hands. We thank the Lord together. Faithful Lord, we thank thee with all our hearts for your word, for your speaking, for your working in our midst, in our hearts. Beloved Lord, you have put your word onto the lampstand. We have heard the word of the Spirit. We received the promises. Beloved Lord, we praise thee. We glorify thee. We thank thee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise sei Gott. Praise sei Gott. Praise sei Gott. Hallelujah. 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 Und alles Volk sagte,
and all the people said,
Amen.
You may be seated.